absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello? Hello, hello, once again. It's that time again. It is 10 a.m. on a hot day on the East Coast. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And the theme of the show, what the song is about. This is the Master Plan. Number to call in, 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Let's listen to some of this OJ's. Some people got we'll be right back.
Some people really need it. Listen to me, y'all. Do things, bad things with it. Well, you wanna do things, good things with it. Yeah.
Talking about, and this theme of this show is about the mean green. If anybody's been paying attention to what's happening in the NBA, money is flowing and so are the players from one team to the next. Started off with a coach being traded from the Celtics to the Clippers. And him getting the same green that he got from his former team, the Celtics. He got the same deal for the Clippers. And they get some old heads, and meaning Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Jason Terry. And the Celtics are getting some young bloods. Okay, some youngsters. All right. Then you got what's been taking place in the last few weeks, I've seen weeks or days, whatever you want to talk about. Let's just run a few of these things down. All right, let's do this. We're talking about money flowing big time. Okay. Let's go to the Atlantic Hawks first. We got Paul Millsap and Kyle Korver. Millsap signs for 2 years for $19 million. And Kyle Korver signs for 4 years for $24 million. So Millsap gets $9.5 million a year. Korver gets $8 million a year. $6 million a year. This guy, Millsap, okay, leaves Utah and going to pair up with Al Horford in Atlanta. Okay, hold on a minute here. I got a call coming in here. Hopefully it's not a harassing call, but we'll see what it is. Call from Skype. Welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and tell me what do you have to say.
Basketball sucks.
Excuse me? Thank you, caller. I really appreciate that. I'm glad you took the time out to express how intelligent you are. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that, and obviously you are not a lover of basketball. So this segment of the program will not pertain to you and is not of interest to you, but I appreciate the phone call. Come back again sometime and express your feelings. It is what it is. You say it sucks. Other people enjoy it. Everybody is entitled to their opinion, and this is America. So thank you for your call. Anyway, let's get back to the NBA. Like I said, Millsap is going to pair up with Al Horford, and that is going to be some type of front court combination. Now, I'm not a big – if you listen to any of the shows I've been on, I'm talking about the FSP Crew show, talking about the No Chaser, FSP Crew shows on Thursday, 8 o'clock, No Chaser, 7 p.m., on Friday night, and the FSP show itself, 1 p.m., all these are Eastern Standard Time, and like I said, the FSP show is on 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I've always said that I'm not a big lover of the Atlantic Hawks, regardless of who the coach has been, regardless, it's just in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, for what it's worth, that the Atlanta Hawks mindset has always been, for this longest time, that they're a type of team that has a lot of talent, but always set you up for a disappointment. Always set you up because they take you to a certain spot and they'll never get over the hump because it's got to do with basketball intelligence, and that comes from your mind quite naturally, and the fortitude to be able to press on when things get tough. And basically I'm saying the Atlanta Hawks lack heart. They've had lacked heart for quite a while. Regardless of what coach has been there, it seems like the mindset of the whole organization is set up that for disappointment, for fans to get disappointed. So Kyle Korver, Paul Millsap, Korver can bomb it out from outside. Millsap is a good guy. He can give you roughly about 14.7 rebounds. A block and a steal, something like that. But I think he should be able to flourish within the confines of the Atlanta Hawks. Let's move on to a really intriguing. This is intriguing, and when I saw this, I said, "Oh my God, oh boy, this is going to be because this guy is athletic and he's tough." He tough in mind, tough in heart. And to put him with the talent that is on the Golden State Warriors, Harrison Barnes, Stephon Curry, just to name a few. I'm talking about Andre Iguodala, Iguodala, going to the Golden State Warriors, signs a very, I'm talking about, I told you, the theme of this song, the theme of this show is money, and this guy is getting paid. 4 years, $48 million, $12 million a year. This is a very, extremely good acquisition for the Warriors. He should start at small forward. Unfortunately, Harrison Barnes, because of that, may go to the bench. But it's a possibility from what I'm seeing that the Warriors still may be in the process of doing some more deals. So you have to wait and see. But Harrison Barnes coming off the bench is not a bad fit, is not a bad thing. Now, that means you won't have too much of a regression from Iguodala to Harrison Barnes if Harrison Barnes is still on the team, okay? But I really like this. I really like this. I mean, he adds some, like I said, some athleticism. He adds some toughness and some definitely experience to that already young, that really young team. I really like this move, and I can't wait till the NBA season starts again to see how this pans out. Then we go to one of the, well, you can say he's a bad boy, but one of the, I wouldn't say more, one of the more flamboyant guys, but he's not afraid to show you, to tell you how good he is. And I'm talking about, he's going to the Mavericks. He's a point guard. I'm talking about Jose Calderon signing with the Mavericks for 4 years, $29 million. So that's about $7.5 million a year, give or take. No, 4 years, $29 million. So you figure that's, about $7.5 million a year, something like that. Oh, yeah. I can't be hating on him, my man. They needed to get a decent point guard, of course. Collison wasn't what they wanted, what they thought they were getting. He was a little, somewhat of a disappointment. So when he's healthy, Jose Calderon produces. Now you think about this, Calderon. With the Mavericks, with Dirk Nowitzki and company, that puts some excitement in that team. Like they, you know, not that they didn't have it before, but this puts some excitement in the team. Jose Calderon is a flashy player. I'm telling you, he's a flashy player. Opponents don't like him. Teammates love him because the fact is he is very disruptive on the court and in play, and it tries to get into your mind. Jose Calderon to the Dallas Mavericks, $29 million for 4 years. And then you got O.J. Mayo. Moves on, and he signs with the Milwaukee Bucks for 3 years for $24 million. So he's getting $8 million a year. That may if not anytime soon, means Monta Ellis is gone. You got Brandon Jennings there and company. J.J. Redick has moved on, along with Monta Ellis probably moving on. So what happens with that team? He's still a young player. He's only 26. He turns 26 in a few months, November to be exact. I like O.J. Mayo going to the Bucks. This should be, you know, there's a lot of moves here with guys going to these different teams that are going to provide some excitement and a different look to some of these teams. And O.J. Mayo, Jose Calderon is just a few of them. Now there's some other guys that stay, and then they added pieces. So I talked about one of them before, or I talked about one of the teams before. And I'm talking about the Clippers. Doc Rivers came to the Clippers, and one of the moves, I think, one of the reasons why Doc Rivers went to the Clippers or the Clippers got Doc Rivers is to keep their the all-star point guard. I'm talking about Chris Paul. And Chris Paul signs up with the Clippers for 5 years for $107 million. Like I said before, and I'll say it again. That's like I said, money, money, money. He gets, what, for 5 years? What is that? $107 million for 5 years? That's something outrageous. That's $21 million, almost $21.5 million a year? Wow. You better get a championship out of that. Then you get J.J. Redick and Jared Dudley is traded to the Clippers. And Matt Barnes signs with the Clippers for 3 years for $11 million. So the Clippers are definitely trying to load up. And definitely going for broke along with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. It's all in. Anybody know about anything about Texas Hold'em or poker? The Clippers have pushed their chips to the center of the table and saying, we're all in. We're going for it this year. Unfortunately, they lost their backup point guard, which is Eric Bledsoe. But they still have a lot of solid pieces and added more solid pieces to what they have. You know what? Before we go any further, let me do this. I'm going to go and I'll go this way.
If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry, Black, and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archives, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Yes, tune into any of those shows. You listen to The Master Plan. But Sylvia Crawley is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Monday night. FSP Crew Show, 8 p.m. On Thursday nights, every Thursday night, Eastern Standard Time. The No Chaser Show, which with Mac Williams and myself as the co-host, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday night. And then, like I said before earlier, the 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time would be the FSP show. Vic Gardner is normally the host of that show, along with me as the co-host. And we do enjoy going back and forth and giving out information, as always, that will help you in fantasy and inform you of what's going on in fantasy, sports, and politics. Just like it says. All right, let's get back to what I was talking about. I ended up with the Clippers, and they're loading up. And like I said, they are absolutely pushing their chips in to the center of the table, saying, "This is the year we take it all. This is the year we're really going for. This year." They're loading up. they got to be one of the favorites, in my opinion, to win the West. Even though Russell Westbrook is coming back from the injury he had to the Oklahoma City Thunder, for the Thunder, they lost Kevin Martin. Now, I'm not saying that's a big piece, but Kevin Martin was a offensive threat that they used extensively. So they got to fill that void, getting that added offense off of someone else. But getting back to what I was talking about here, one of the things, and this may be inconsequential, but sooner or later, this team has to rise above the doldrums of being in the basement because of all the high draft picks that they're getting because they're, year after year, their record has been abysmal. Sooner or later, things have to click for the Bobcats. So they grab Al Jefferson for 3 years, $41 million. Now, you know that he's going to be instantly the focal point of the offense. And I got to believe this is just all for money, obviously. 3 years, $41 million, what is that? That's about a little over $13.5 million a year. Wow. They threw a lot of money his way, and it's like and I'm not saying it, but I am saying it. There's players out there that, and it's all according to your priorities. Do you want to get paid and just play for the money, or do you want a championship? Well, Al Jefferson, and I'm not downing him, I'm just saying that, he went to the Charlotte Bobcats, one of the worst organizations in the NBA. One that's possibly, like I said, sooner or later they got to turn it around, but one possibly that in the next 2 to 3 years is not going to be a superpower in the NBA. So he signed for 3 years. That's 3 years of him getting paid and getting beat up also. And I mean, when I say beat up, I'm beat up mentally because this team is not going to win right away at all. Now, they may win a few more games than they won last year, but that few may not be that many. So this is example of a player, in my opinion, and I'm not down on him. I can't hate on him out there to for the money and not worrying about a championship. So he'll be a focal point of the offense in Charlotte. There's no guarantee. There's no two ways around it. It'll be the offense. So I wouldn't say give a pass on that, but I'm just this is all about money. It's all about these guys moving on and getting paid, or staying with their team and getting paid. As in what's we're going to be talking about the next set of players. Talking about there was talk that they may lose this player, so the Knicks went ahead and traded to get Andrea Bargnani, and they got rid of some salaries and. Quite naturally, Jason Kidd left because he's right now, like everyone knows, he's the coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Chris Copeland left. So, and then they turned around and they thought that they were going to lose J.R. Smith, but they wound up signing J.R. Smith 4 years, $24.7 million a year. I mean, for 4 years, I'm sorry. So you figure that's a little over $6 million a year. Now they have another offensive threat. Now they have two guys that are going to be playing or competing for playing time. Hopefully, J.R. Smith is still motivated, even though he's not playing for a contract. He's still motivated. He got paid, so there's no complaint there. He got paid, and he agreed to this contract. Hopefully, Mike Woodson can keep him focused. That now we have Bargnani and J.R. Smith. When I say we, because I am a Knicks fan, and I have to say that. And these guys, like I said, can coexist, can add to the offensive firepower along with Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire and be a bigger threat in the East than they were prior. Because Lord knows they need it, because all these teams are definitely getting better in the East. And I had talked about this guy before. Kevin Martin. He was with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He had a good. He was a offensive threat with the Oklahoma City Thunder, but the Timberwolves barely needed a perimeter option. Kevin Love was the down low option, but the Timberwolves definitely needed a perimeter option. And now with Martin, I can see that he should be a very pretty good three-point shooter like he was with Oklahoma City Thunder. And they can produce a nice in-out combination between Kevin Martin and Kevin Love and provide a little bit more offensive power to that Minnesota Timberwolves team. Kevin Martin signs. He got paid. 4 years, $28 million. $7 million a year. Kevin Martin. Man, I wish, you know what, I wish I was born with a little bit more talent and a little later in life. Wow. Talking about getting paid. And let's move on to the Western Conference champions who played in the NBA Finals. They had three guys that were up for contract, were up to either go somewhere else, sign somewhere else, or re-sign with the Spurs. Well, they signed them. Manu Ginobili. 2 years, $14 million. That's $7 million a year for those who can't add or divide or whatever. Thiago Splitter. He signs with the Spurs for 4 years, $36 million. That's $9 million a year. That's crazy. $9 million for Thiago Splitter? $9 million. Ginobili only gets, and he's an older player, I understand he's an older player, but he signs with 2 years, $14 million. And Marco Bellinelli, he signs with the Spurs for a measly $6 million for 2 years, so he's getting only $3 million a year. But what I'm saying is these guys are getting paid. So we'll see what happens with this. But they're getting paid. Let's move on to another. Now, these guys were in the Eastern Conference Finals and took the Miami Heat to 7 games. Talking about the Indiana Pacers, they got Danny Granger coming back from injury. So he'll be in full tilt come the NBA season to start a 2013-2014 season of the NBA. But I'm not talking about Danny Granger. I'm talking about re-signing a player, 3 years, $36 million, $12 million a year for David West. But is he going to be able to do the same things he did before when Danny Granger comes back, when he plays alongside him? What's that going to do? We'll see what happens with that. Tony Allen, not a huge player, but he re-signs with the Grizzlies for 4 years, $21 million, 5 years, Tony Allen. Unbelievable. Earl Clark signs with the Cavaliers for 2 years, $9 million, $4.5 million a year. So, and now, I ran down those two, okay? I haven't even gotten to the big boy. And you know who I'm talking about when I say the big boy, in more ways than one. So what do you think Dwight's going to sign for? Okay, I'm talking about Dwight Howard. Is leaving the Lakers and going to the Houston Rockets. All right? What do you think Dwight's going to get? What do you think Dwight is going to get? Some astronomical salary, contract, astronomical contract. You know, waiting to see what he's going to actually sign for. But he's definitely going to the Houston Rockets. And yesterday, at the Daytona Speedway in Florida, Shaquille O'Neal was down there along with Adam Sandler and a host of others. And he was interviewed down there. And quite naturally, that the question of Dwight Howard came up. And this is what Shaquille had to say. Let's listen to what Shaq has to say on this.
I'm wondering what you think about Dwight Howard.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Dale Earnhardt Jr. today on the track. Danica Patrick is one of my favorites. I hope she wins. Very beautiful. She's very feisty. Love the way she competes. The Dwight Howard thing, it was expected. You know, we've all been in L.A., and not a lot of people can handle being under the bright lights. Everybody wants to do it, but when you get there, you know, there's certain pressures. And, you know, I think it was a safe move for him to go to little town like Houston.
Thank you. We'll start off.
That's right, little town. I said it.
Now, Dwight Howard chose the Rockets over the Lakers, saying he thought that Houston had a better chance to win an NBA title than the Lakers. Now, I have to agree with him. I think that Houston's got a younger and a more talented team right now. He looked at both teams, and he felt like Houston was going in one direction, and they got a lot of young players, and they got a good coach. And this coach, Kevin McHale, is one of the better big men, not one the best big men, but one of the better big men in the NBA when he played in the NBA, and can teach and can show Dwight Howard the big man way. All right? And that's what he said. He said he felt like that Kevin McHale was a good coach, and he felt like having him as a coach, he could really help me in the post and help him in development like I want to. And in a quote, that was mainly the big reason right there, and having the opportunity to grow with a team, a young team like the Rockets. And that's the reason why they decided to leave. Now, with the Lakers, he had a little over 17 points a game, a little over 12 rebounds a game in 76 games. Now, I have to think this. Now, I'll read this quote. And I'm not really, I can understand what he's saying, but I think it's a bunch of BS. His quote was, "It was tough. I enjoy, for the most part, living here in L.A. I just really think the timing in L.A., it wasn't right for me. Maybe 2 years ago or 2 to 3 years from now, it would have been right, it would have been the right time. But I just think right now, the timing was off for me. That's not saying that L.A. is a bad place, but I just think it's all about timing and fit. When you're talking about basketball, you can put anybody together on the court and expect them to win, but the pieces have to really fit in order for a team to be successful. And it was very, very tough, man. It's probably one of the toughest decisions I've ever had to make in my mind. Excuse me. It was probably one of the toughest decisions I've ever had to make in my life." Well, Dwight, you're gone. I got another quote, another thing from Shaq, but I'll hit it when I come back from this commercial.
You all know and love her from the WNBA, but now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Syl.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, we're back. Like I said, I have another quote from Shaq, but this is on a side note. And the reason I'm saying it now because I don't want to forget telling you. Starting last Sunday in July, I'm going to be going over position by position. And for fantasy, okay, I'm going to go from my top 25 in a position. So that's at least two players from each position in a 12 team league that features two and two, and that doesn't include the quarterback or the. But two running backs, two wide receivers. So what I'm going to be doing is this. I'm going to be going first. I'm going to start with quarterback, which would be the. Let me put this out there right now. What I say the last Sunday in July. So starting in the 28th of July, I'm going to be talking about quarterback. The 4th of August, I'm going to be talking about wide receivers. The 11th of August, I'm going to be talking about tight ends. And last but not least, the 18th. That's going to give you guys all the time in the world, and that's the reason why I'm waiting until the 18th, because by that time, a lot of the running back positions should be established by then, and I can give you the best thoughts on what I position, what I think of the running back position. So it's going to be quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, and last but not least will be the running backs, starting on the 28th of July and ending up the 18th of August. That should give you, for those who draft late before the season starts, gives you an opportunity to get all the information that I put out there, and you can either accept it, throw it out the window, ball it up, and throw it in the garbage or whatever, but at least I put it out there, and I'll be on record as how I feel about all four of those positions: quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, and running back. That being said, let's get back to the Dwight Howard. And I got a little more than 5 minutes interview on NBA TV about Dwight Howard, what Shaq thinks of Dwight Howard. And this is a little bit more extensive than the 40-second clip that I played previously.
Of course, the league is still buzzing over Dwight Howard's departure from L.A., the latest chapter in an eventful career, which of course began with the number one overall pick. That's what Howard was back in the 2004 NBA draft. And things went smoothly at first. Howard paid immediate dividends in Orlando with all-star games, a lot of block shots, and a trip to the 2009 NBA Finals where the Magic lost to the L.A. Lakers. The relationship with the Magic went sour, and when Howard made it clear he wanted out, Orlando traded him to the Lakers in a blockbuster deal last summer. But it was a rocky single season in L.A., including a coaching change, a creaky Laker lineup, and a first-round sweep against the Spurs. And when it was decision time, Howard became the first superstar to walk away from the Lakers, agreeing to a 4-year deal with the Houston Rockets worth about $88 million. We learned on Saturday there's an opt-out after 3 seasons. But when he arrived in L.A., Howard seemed like the ideal link in the Lakers' chain of Hall of Fame centers, which includes our own Shaquille O'Neal, who joins us now here on Game Time. Shaq, welcome to the program. You know better than anyone what it means to be the center of the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the marquee positions in all of sports. How surprised are you that Dwight Howard has chosen to remove himself from that prestigious spot?
Well, first of all, you know, being a center for the Los Angeles Lakers, especially a good one, you know, especially when they call you the best big man in the league, it's a lot of pressure. When I first got there, Jerry West made me look up at the rafters, and he said, you see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? You see Will Chamberlain? These are the names that you have to live up to. Now, when it comes to pressure, some people look pressure in the face and welcome it, and others walk away from pressure. I mean, I knew and Sam knew that, you know, when you can make $30 million playing where you are, when you get a max contract playing where you are, but then when you announce you want to meet with other teams, that's just telling Sam, myself, and you, Matt, that you're not happy in your conditions right now and you're looking to do something different. So when he signed with Houston, I wasn't surprised.
Shaq, you think about all the former Laker players who have worn that uniform, won championships. Did you have a problem at all with the Lakers putting up the billboards and basically begging Dwight Howard to stick around?
I didn't have a problem. You know, they brought him in last year. You know, things didn't go as planned. So, you know, good thing about the Lakers organization is that they've been on every side of the fence before. They've been on the really good. They've been on the really bad. So they just wanted another chance. You know, him and Kobe and a healthy Nash and everybody getting on the same page. Still on paper, they're still a dangerous team. So, I mean, you know, when you have a marquee player like that and you want him to stay, you do whatever it takes to get him to stay.
Shaq, you said something in your opening comments that was very interesting. Jerry West took you into the Great Western Forum, as it was called then, at Staples Center, and showed you those great centers. Then you had Phil Jackson there. Do you feel like because there's not a Jerry West or a Phil Jackson there, that if you had one of those guys there, that the Dwight Howard decision would have been different because you would have had someone that could have communicated to him Like they communicated to you about the importance of staying in L.A. and being in L.A.?
I mean, Mitch Kupchak is a fine general manager. The Buzz family always do a wonderful job. I heard a discussion about Mike D'Antoni not fitting Dwight's style. That's false. I played for Mike D'Antoni. He's the easiest coach on my body that I had in my career. You know, he loves the big man. You know, Dwight is a pick and roll big man. He has about 100 million pick and roll plays to get Dwight involved. But, Sam, you know, it ain't about the coach's X's and O's. It's about what you do. It's about what you can get your teammates to do to win. Think about it, Sam. Before I was introduced to the triangle, was I a triangle player?
Great point.
Oh, I was not a triangle player. Phil Jackson brought in that boring triangle. I listened to what he said, but I added a little bit of my own stuff into it. Kobe added a little bit of his stuff into it, and we got everybody to work together. That's what you do to win championships. It has nothing to do with the coach. Sam, you know that, Matt, you know that, and I know that. It has nothing to do with the coach. It has everything to do with you.
Shaq, we've got you in transit here. You're on your way back from the NASCAR race in Daytona, Florida. How was your NASCAR experience, including, I'm told, that they put you to work a little bit?
Patrick, buddy. Wow. That's the only place I want to be. I've been with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and all the other guys. It's a great event. I actually didn't realize there was that many people out there. I think it's about 200,000 people up there screaming. Cars look nice. It's a great sport. Glad to be there.
Yeah, the running
joke. Patrick.
The running joke around here is that you can't fit into the Buick in the commercials. I guarantee you couldn't fit into the NASCAR vehicle.
First of all, I fit in the Buick. You see me in the Buick in the commercials.
No one sees you get in the Buick.
What are you guys talking about? Does not fit means cannot get in. You see me in the Buick in every commercial. I'm in.
I want to see you get into one of the NASCAR stock cars.
I was in one of the NASCAR stock cars. Remember when I was shooting shotguns and I raced?
You know, those doors are shut. There's no way you get into that thing.
He called me on the last lap.
All right, Jack. Thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it. Enjoy
your
summer.
Thank you. All right, guys. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. As you can hear, because of the names of people that are not there to show a new player the Laker way, as in Phil Jackson, especially as in Jerry West, like Shaq had said in that clip. Dwight Howard doesn't have appreciation of what it means to be a Lakers center. I mean, you could talk about, the Lakers are a great organization, but you need someone to actually show you. Not, you know, just talking. And like I said before in other programs, players have to buy in. Just like Shaq said, he wasn't a triangle player when he first got there. But he bought in. He adapted his game and used part of his game. So he tailored his game to fit into the triangle offense. And also, he didn't lose track of what his game was about either. Some players are afraid to make that leap because it may diminish their skills and put them in a bad light. Other players are confident in their ability and are willing to adapt to the situation to benefit their team, themselves, and not lose their total identity, but just adapt it to the present surroundings. Shaq said he did that. He got championships out of it with Phil Jackson. Dwight was resistant with Mike D'Antoni, didn't like his system, didn't want to change his system, resisted all about changing his system, and the results were not pretty. And just like Shaq said it before, and I'll say it again, the coach is the coach, but the players, if you have the big boy, meaning Kobe Bryant, buying in to what Mike D'Antoni is trying to do, or basically buying in, the rest of the team should follow. Now, Dwight, only 1 year there versus all these other players that have been there for a while, doesn't have the same type of feeling of being a team within that team, a team player, whatever, within that team. So he doesn't have that same allegiance as the other players that were already on that Laker team. He felt more or less like an outsider, especially when Kobe Bryant puts more pressure on you to perform. And just like Shaq said, some guys run toward the pressure, some guys run away from the pressure. Houston's safe for Dwight. Houston's younger than the Lakers. So I can understand why Dwight Howard would want to go to the Houston Rockets. I can understand, especially with a coach like Kevin Kevin McHale as a coach. Kevin McHale is a very good communicator and knows how to communicate to each and every individual player. He's not a hard-nosed coach, but he's a fair coach. He's a very good coach, and I think he'll benefit. I think Dwight Howard will benefit. He's got a head coach that was a big man in the NBA and had won championships in the NBA that can help and help develop Dwight Howard mentally and especially physically. I hope it works out. I'm just anxious to see what the contract is going to be for that, because it's going to be mind blowing. I just know it. I got one more commercial I'm going to run here, and then I'm going to close the show out. Well, let's talk about that after the commercial.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to, well, this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to
join us. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Stephen?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety. If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, baby. All right, people. This is the deal. Remember what I said. I'm going to start talking about fantasy football starting the last Sunday in July. That's July 28th. I'm going to start with quarterbacks, and each following Sunday, it's going to be wide receivers, tight end, and I'm going to wind it up. I end it with running backs. Hopefully, what I tell you, you'll use in your fantasy drafts. I guarantee you I'm going to give you some sleepers that will help you grab them in the later rounds and take advantage of your fellow fantasy football members in the league that you're in, league members that are less informed. Also, starting this year, okay? Starting this year, this is my email address, jtaylor342@comcast.net. Send me, when the season starts, send me your start and sit options, and I promise you, everyone that you send to me, I will respond to and give you your start and sit options. I'm on the net all the time, and I will be answering start and sit options as you post as you email me. I'll email you back with a rapid response. That's Jay Taylor. J as in letter J, TAYLOR, 342@comcast.net. Start and sit options for the fantasy football. That being said, it's hot, blistering days since the summer started, which was in the late part of June. And I think this song is appropriate. It's an older song. It's a remake of a song, but I think they made it. They did the best version of this song. The Isley Brothers, back in the 70s, called "Summer Breeze." I'm gonna end the show with this song. Peace and blessings. Stay well, be safe. Everything.